This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 432 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from shuttersincpodcast.com, and joining me on Skype from Melbourne, Victoria, from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Well, I was okay until a minute or two ago.
Why was that?
Then I had to look at your photos from the weekend.
Ah, right.
There's a start to a podcast.
There it is. Yeah.
I'm in reasonable wellness.
Excellent.
I went for a lovely 2.5 hour bike ride with my kids today. We had a picnic by a river.
Nice.
And it was just fabulous. So that's put me in good spirits.
Awesome. Was it good weather?
Oh, it's beautiful. Just it's like those perfect autumn days of blue sky, a little bit of cloud,
yep.
A slight chill in the air, but not so much that it's uncomfortable. Just beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
So fabulous day.
Excellent.
And then my eldest is going away for 4 days tomorrow, so now I'm feeling a bit melancholy now I've mentioned that. So.
Where's she off to?
The highest scout camp.
Ah, right.
It's a weird thing. They go on scout camps.
Yeah.
It's competition camping.
Right. Okay.
This is new to me.
Yeah.
But competition camping, basically they're judged on things like camp cleanliness and how their beds are made, every aspect of the tent, where things are put away, how things are put away, and they compete across the state against a whole bunch of, there's like four big camp areas around Victoria where thousands of scouts go, and they all compete against each other for this award. It's very unusual.
Right.
I've got to say.
You just gave me an idea for a competition camping thing. It should be... Take the kids 500 miles away, drop them all off.
If they can find their way home.
Competition is to find their way home.
If they can find their way home, then their job done, that's more of an orienteering camp, I think you'd find that. The thing, we've been having a fun week, though. This is what we've been doing, junior rangers this week.
What's that?
And junior rangers is put on by Parks Victoria.
Okay.
And we go into – Monday, I think it was, Monday we went to a place called Serendip Sanctuary, which is an Australian animal sanctuary.
Right.
With emus and ostriches and tawny frogmouth owls. They're not owls, but we call them that.
Yep.
A whole bunch of birds, brolgers, everything that's native to that little area. So they don't have – so, for example, there's no wombats. Because wombats aren't natural to this particular area, so they don't have anything that's not native to that particular zone of country that they're in.
Right.
But they did a behind the scenes with the Rangers Day for a few hours. So they're going behind the scenes, they prepare all the food for the animals, they go out there, they feed the animals and everything else, and learn as they go around. So spend a day as junior rangers.
Cool.
Completely free of charge.
Oh, nice.
And then so that was an awesome thing on Monday morning. And then the ranger comes up to me and says, look, we had a couple of people play it for this afternoon's one, which is a different one. If you're interested, come on back. So we went back for Bush Detectives.
Okay.
And Bush Detectives, once again, you get to go to a part of the sanctuary that no one else is allowed to go to. And they're out there discovering different types of droppings on which animals that could have come from, and footprints, and discovering bones, looking through the bush, looking for bones, and talking about different type of ants' nests. All the stuff you find in the bush.
Yeah, right.
So that's it, all free of charge. Bloody marvellous.
Sweet.
And then yesterday we did another one at a different place, Mini Beasts. And Mini Beasts, you go down to the water and you with nets and you scoop up stuff out of the reeds and see what kind of insects you pull up. And they've got microscopes and stuff. And
you put
your finds under the microscopes, and there's these identification charts and stuff. Bloody marvels.
Cool.
We've been out in the outdoors. We've discovered and learned a bunch of stuff. The funny thing is the day before, my eldest daughter said to me, she said, when I grow up, I want to do public speaking.
Right.
My goal is I want a job that does public speaking because I love public speaking.
Cool.
Okay. Because I want to do something that's community service, community minded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, somewhere I can give back to the community. And if possible, I'd love to work with animals. So the next day she's gone down, there's this ranger doing public speaking to the group, which is a community service.
Yeah. with animals.
And so she's asking like a million questions, blah, blah, blah. And the ranger comes up to her and says, look, when you're 16, we'd love to have you down here to volunteer.
Nice.
Come down and volunteer on school holidays and stuff. So she got home, set her iPad alarm. 4 years, 2 months, 19 days.
Excellent.
When she's 16.
Excellent.
So she's got a and all the rangers that she talked to over the three events, they all went from being volunteers to fully fledged park rangers.
Nice.
So she's kind of passionate about it now, which is kind of nice. So yeah, who knows how long it'll last, but yeah, even if it's just something she does from time to time. They learn firefighting skills, they learn all sorts of cool stuff. So
yeah, right.
For an outdoorsy sort of kid, it would be a kind of a cool occupation, I reckon, to have.
Yeah, totally.
So that's been my week anyway.
Excellent.
No photos. I just took a few photos with the iPhone.
Right.
that's about the and what, and yourself, and then you went away.
Yeah. So as I said to you last week, I'd organized, yeah. I'd reached out to this model Julie that I'd shot with a couple of times. I said, I'm going to be up in your neck of the woods. Do you want to do a shoot? She said, can't, got other things happening, but my niece might be up for it. So puts me in touch with the niece's mum, whose name was also Julie. And the second Julie says to me, look, Michaela's really excited about it and, happy for you to do it, but, be warned, she's, very shy and yada, yada, yada. Anyway, so comes Thursday night, I'm, getting all the gear ready down in the garage to, strap it all to the bike, ready to head off on Friday morning. Yeah. And Friday morning, jump on the bike, and I was already taking my tripod. And
you're going to do some astro stuff, weren't you?
Yeah, that's right. And so what I lack in my kit is an adapter with a... What size thread is tripod? Is that 3/8?
Three quarters.
Yeah. So what I don't have is something with a 3/8 female thread that goes to a spigot on top. So I could. Yes, the thing that you mount the thing that your softbox attaches to generally has this, wide open throat that goes down over a spigot, and then you screw up the thread that tightens.
Oh, yeah.
And so I don't have one of those, so I can't mount my softbox on my tripod. But because I was taking my tripod in my Manfrotto canvas bag, I thought, I'll stuff it. I know Glenn said don't bother, but I'm going to take a light stand with me anyway, because it was no great impediment to take it. So I just threw it in the tripod bag with the tripod. So I had the two of those, and I had my softbox all packed down and all this other crap that I was taking with me. I get down to Sydney and get to work to find a message from Julie saying, Michaela's woken up with a stomach bug. She's been in the toilet all morning vomiting, blah, blah, blah. Not going to happen. I was like, oh, crap. So she says, I'll see if I can find somebody else for you. I said, oh, that'd be fantastic if you could. So anyway, we're trading messages through the day. She didn't find anyone. Comes the Saturday morning, James and I pack up and we're heading off. And we were seriously only about 3Ks down the road. And I thought to myself, I should message Julie, the mum, and just say, look, why don't you model for me? Because I've brought all this gear that I, now have absolutely no use for if I don't have someone to shoot. And so we pulled over. I sent her a message, said, we're on the bikes now. I'm not going to be able to check for a response for another hour, but, if you're up for it, let's do it. So we jumped back on the bikes and off we go. Anyway, we stopped to pick up some apples at Bilpin, and I checked my phone for messages, and she said, yep, sure, she'd come along and model for me. So I thought, okay, great. I've at least still got a rough plan in place to at least do a shoot. Makes carting all this gear worthwhile, So, so we got up to Ben Bullen at pretty much the same time she did. I think she'd only got there a couple of minutes before us. And, yeah, and I said to her, look, we won't be more than an hour, because she did say that she wasn't feeling real flash either thought she was getting the same bug, because she said it's gone through all my family. She's got five kids and the youngest daughter has just had this thing and it lasted for 3 days and yada, yada. Ugh. And so I said to her, I said, well, look, it will be no more than an hour, I promise you, And as it was, we only shot for about 45, 50 minutes.
Which is no more than an hour, Bruce.
That is correct. Well spotted. So
you're saying it like it's some sort of miracle. Oh, we only shot for 50 minutes. Is pretty close to an hour.
Yes.
If you said to me, "Oh, no, in the end, we only shot for 30 minutes," I said, "Well, that's a difference. That's worth mentioning."
So
we only shot for 57 and a half minutes. Not for that.
That's right. And so I'd said to her through the week, if you can find an old suitcase, that'd be awesome, And she had said to me, she said, I might be able to find an old suitcase. And she said, we've got an old trunk. And I said, oh, yeah, if you can bring that, that'd be great, And so she...
I know you're feeling sick, but can you carry these heavy things?
No, the trunk was actually really lightweight. It wasn't like what I was expecting at all. And I'd said to her, if it's got stuff in it, you can leave that behind because we're not going to be looking in it. We just want the outside of the box. So the great thing about it, as you said last week, was having James there, he was quite happy to... act as, a VALS, voice activated light system, for those not familiar with the acronym.
No, stand.
Oh, stand. Okay. Okay. All right.
It's not an entire system, it's just one component of the system.
Okay, if you like. So, but it certainly, that certainly cuts down on the time of running backwards and forwards to, change angles or heights or, that sort of thing. And, wearing yourself out because you're running backwards and forwards all the time. So that was good.
Yeah, exactly.
So we, shot a 10, 15 images. The three that I sent you were
just... So just before you go, is that 10 or 15 setups or 10 or 15 images?
No, about 15 images all up.
Yep.
And the three that I sent you were just the three that I had on my phone this evening because I'm logged into my Windows system and all my photos live on my Linux system and I can't access them from Windows.
So, but they're your best because they're the ones you put on your Facebook page.
On my Instagram,
page,
right? Yeah.
So they must be your best ones.
That's exactly right. You don't like them, okay?
Well, first up, let's ignore the people shots for a minute. That's got to be about the most effing worst... astro shot I've ever seen, Bruce. You've missed every single star. There's not a single star in the photos, Bruce. You took your tripod up for astro. You've got not a single bleeding star. What went wrong? Did you clone them out?
That would be shooting at 5:30 in the afternoon while the sun was up.
Which, okay. Well, that begs the next question. Why? Tell me what possible redeeming features this photo has.
Well, if you don't like it, that's entirely up to you.
Tell me your thought process on this image.
We're talking about the one of the rock face and the tree, right?
Is it a rock face, is it?
Yeah.
It's like a hill. Yeah, okay. Well, I'll take your word for it. The rock face and the tree.
Yes. It's landscape. Glenn, you wouldn't understand.
No, I've seen landscapes before, Bruce.
Okay, what don't you like?
It'd be much simpler to say, what do I like?
Okay, what do you like?
I just don't.
That's fine. That's entirely fine. You're entitled to not like it.
But where's the art? What's the photo about?
Art's in the eye of the beholder, Glenn.
I want you to be passionate about your photo. I want you to sell your photo to me.
I love the photo.
Why?
Because
that's what I want to hear. Tell me why.
I love the contrast of the colours, like the orange of the rocks against the blue of the sky, which are complementary colours. I'm happy with the framing of it.
Not complementary colours.
I don't know. Maybe not complementary is not the right word. I don't know. Yeah. They're opposite sides of the colour.
Opposite the colour. Yeah.
I'm happy with the framing of it. I originally tried to shoot it with the 28-75, but the 28 wasn't wide enough for me to get the separation between the tree and the mountain in the background where the 15mm did.
Yeah. I assume by the framing, you don't mean that crappy little fake frame.
No, I mean the composition.
Okay, good.
Of the image. I like it. You don't have to like it.
Okay.
I'll put it in the podcast show notes if we actually have a website by Sunday.
Let's have a vote, guys. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Let's have a vote. Let's put up a vote on Facebook. Facebook page vote.
About what?
A poll. Yay or nay?
What, for that photo?
Yeah. Let's poll it.
Okay, fine. Whatever.
Now, let's look at the people shots. Uh-huh. Now, I've done a very, very brief fix, of, not fix, but tweak of them.
Right.
And sent them back to you via email.
Okay.
So here's the thing I've been struggling with for a while, and I will continue to probably to struggle with for quite a while, is with the notion of what's the point?
Right.
You know, what's the point of the photos we take even?
Mm-hmm.
And so just in the first image with the sort of at the doorway.
Yep.
Just looks lost. Which maybe this point, the train station baggage.
Well, that was kind of the idea. Like, this train station is deserted. It's not used anymore. It's covered in weeds. And
yeah, but here's the thing. You can't see the weeds. You would not know that's a train station.
You can see the weeds.
You would not know. You see some grass in the background. The weeds.
Well, that's because you cropped everything out.
In your original, look at your original photo.
Right.
Look at your original photo. The weeds are 2.5 foot down from where you shot.
Uh-huh.
They're below the frame of the image.
In
do you agree?
The first one.
In the first one, where she's looking out the doorway.
Yeah. Yep.
So you can just see them just creeping into the bottom of the frame, which means they're all below the frame.
Okay.
So you can't really see them. You see maybe a couple of tufty bits of grass.
Okay.
It doesn't look like a train station because there's no line.
No, you can't see the train tracks in that image. I'll
give
you that.
Or even the platform. You would not even know it's a platform. So it's a building.
All right.
With some road signs in the background.
Yep.
So to strengthen the image, I would do one of two things. I would crop it tighter like I did to make the story tighter.
Mm.
Hopefully that story is tighter by eliminating those things that don't say train line, which is pretty much what I've done.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Does that look a stronger image to you, cropped up close? You don't have to like it. Just
I don't know.
And maybe, the other thing I would
maybe
have
I'm
done
just
is
used to the original.
I would have shot lower.
Right.
Just to bring if the whole point of the old train station with the reeds or the weeds growing through it,
mm-hmm.
I would have tried to get the weeds more into the shot.
Right. Okay.
Make sense?
I think probably not that I was thinking along those lines, but probably the reason I didn't get lower is because it would have introduced more of that close to blown out sky in the top left hand corner of the image. I would have introduced more of that into the frame if I'd shot lower.
By getting but not shooting low, shooting up, lower the entire thing, so less space above her head.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Just tilt down
the entire.
Right.
No, even tilt necessarily because you want to keep those lines straight.
Yeah.
Just literally go down 2 foot.
Right.
As in lower your body, keep the frame, the tightness and the framing the same, but lower everything down 2 feet. Because yeah, it's you're trying to sell a story here.
Yeah.
And part of that story is the weed blown mm-hmm. old train station and those elements are missing. The other things I would have done is I would try. Look, these things are buggers to work with at the best of time. I'm never very good at it anyway. But the trunk and the suitcase.
Yep.
Because you can't really tell what they are because they're black,
yeah.
Which doesn't help. And they're pretty much straight onto the camera, so there's no depth to them. Yeah, one's hiding the other. There's a bit of a square box stick, so you wouldn't know it was a trunk without looking really, really close.
Okay.
Which is where the tighter crop helps because it kind of stands out a bit more as a trunk.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I would have maybe put one on a bit of an angle and maybe stacked one on top of the other one, something so it kind of introduces a bit more depth to those elements.
Yeah. I guess when I shot it, the intention was that you would see these as a sequence. You wouldn't see one out of context with the others. So, you know, if you look at the other images, they are stacked on top of each other, so you do kind of get that impression of she's waiting at a train station with all of her luggage. But anyway, I take your point.
And then there's the land ho, I like to call the next shot. Yeah. Land ho! Aye, aye, Cap'n, I see the land ho.
If there's one thing that I personally don't like about this image is my eyesight's not good enough to see it with as much detail on the back of the camera as when I look at it on a 23-inch monitor at home, is that she's looking straight at the camera, and if I could shoot it again, I'd have said, look a foot above my head.
And don't have that expression on your face.
Okay, okay.
But yes, you don't look at the camera because, you know, that land ho kind of look, you're expecting to be looking at something in the distance.
Exactly.
And you've nailed it exactly. She's looking at you,
yep.
Which obviously you can tell by the viewpoint that you're not that far away. So
what,
she's just shielding the sun from her face?
Pretty much.
Or is she actually looking for something? Because we take that gesture to mean one of those two things.
yeah,
blocking something, or I'm trying to see something in the distance, the far, far distance. So it's incongruous.
Yeah.
And once again, the train, I love the platform. The platform looks really good.
Yeah.
From what I can see the side, I just can't see any of it in the shots. Yeah, you know, you can't really grasp it. So I just said, well, let's just cut out all the rest of that crap and just zoom right in. You still got the great line. The train lines become much stronger elements by cropping in, and she becomes a more of a centralised subject as well. Doing a shoot like this, you do more than just one Land Ho look and go on to the next one. You'd have a few different body poses and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if Land Ho is quite the strongest look for that.
Look,
and I just think
she doesn't consider herself a model either.
Of course, but that's no excuse.
Yeah, okay.
Because, I mean, that's not her job to be directing that. That's your
job. Sure.
She doesn't have to be. She, you know, that's your responsibility to say, no, what are you doing? But, of course, you know, if that's something they feel comfortable doing, you kind of let them do it for a bit, and then you want to kind of direct it into something that, yeah, hopefully is stronger and tells a bit more. But I totally agree. That whole thing about trying to see on a wider shot like that, the nuances of facial expression and where the eyes are, it's just a nightmare, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so then you get home and you've got this shot that you think's fabulous, and you get home, you pull it up in the screen, it's like, oh, look at that.
Yeah.
And then all the stuff that made the photo good, like the nuance of where the shoulder was, the little flip of the hair with the wind, all this nuances, but the face sucks. And then you get on the next shot where you drop the shoulder a bit so that nuance isn't there. The wind's dropped a bit. The face looks great, but nothing else looks good. It's like, oh, why does it always happen? But you've gone home thinking you've just nailed this amazing shot, and then you see it up close and you go, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's – or it's just – or it's the focus hasn't hit the right spot, or there's a bit of blur. It's just – yes, it's quite soul-crushing photography sometimes.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like you go out for a shoot, you might think, oh, I've got one or two good ones there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think maybe I've got one or two that are really good there, and then you put them up on the screen and neither of them are any good. It's like,
Yeah.
When you shoot, you think it's fabulous, and then you get home and go, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
You know? So I'm of that boat quite a lot. Now, you're one of the slightly further back with the roof of the
yep.
I actually don't have a problem with that framing being that distant. You know, I said the one with a crop where she's sort of pulled in a bit tighter, so she's not so lost. I just think the gaping doorway is a huge labyrinth of nothing in the middle of the shot.
Right.
I maybe would have put the suitcase and the trunk sort of filling some of that space a little bit, just to kind of fill it somewhat, and I think she's just a little bit too off axis from the camera. So I would have been looking at putting that left shoulder up against the post, bringing her body round a little bit more. You can see there she's kind of got.
Oh, okay.
She's quite off to one side.
As in, bring her round to face the camera more.
Yeah, just bringing that shoulder that's exposed. And that, look, I don't want to be mean. She's got big arms.
Yes.
Yeah, and she's got a crop top, yeah.
Yep.
So she's exposing a big mass of flesh. The largest expanse of flesh in that shot is that arm.
Yep.
That's going to take away from the face, because her face, especially with pulled back hair, she hasn't got the volume of the hair to make her head look bigger.
Yep.
So the flesh on the arm makes her face look small.
Right.
So if you could have brought that shoulder around, so she's kind of, as you would naturally, you would more naturally lean on your shoulder on a fence, like on a post like that, than you would your back. Would you agree?
Depends. Yeah.
Yeah. If you walk up, you kind of lean on. They kind of lean sideways onto a pole. So fairly. Yeah. Sure. Look at most people. Well, see, it's good to study body language. What people are doing. If you had a train station just catching a normal train.
Yeah.
Look what people are doing.
Yeah.
How are they standing? And then replicate that in your photos.
Yeah.
So if you could have brought her around so she was leaning with that arm on the post, then all of a sudden that mass of arm minimizes significantly.
Right.
She loses 80% of the volume of that, and her head becomes bigger again.
Right.
That makes sense?
Yep.
And once again, she's just got that expression. She's got, I don't know, she's got a wonky eye. She's got like a left eye lobe kind of thing going on.
I don't know.
Because in the shot of her captain, Land Ho captain, her right eye is squinty and her left eye is not.
Right.
In this one, her right eye is squinty, the left one's not so much.
Right.
You were there. I just assumed you might have been talking to her. She's like, arr! Arr! Where be the land, captain? Oh, that's so much fun. We must go out and shoot one of these years. We must.
Yeah.
Did you have fun?
Man, I did. I did.
I wanted to see your astro photos. Have you not processed them yet?
I just haven't processed them yet.
Did it look good in the back of the camera?
they did on the back of the camera. Yep. I've still got, you know, I know I've got to do some work to them because I had the long exposure noise reduction turned off.
Oh, good. Yeah.
You know, because that just doubles the bloody shooting time. So, I need to sit down and process all those. And I've got some multi-image stuff that needs to be stitched.
Of the sky? Of the Astro stuff?
No, I don't think they are. Oh, maybe there is. I can't remember. What I was a little disappointed about is that the old brickworks that we were talking about now fenced off. And you have to pay to go in there because it's on private property and they charge $15 for you to go in there. I did consider trying to sneak in, but I decided no, that wouldn't be the right thing to do, so I didn't. I did shoot some images on my phone of just the township, which I've got to send to you. I just have.
What was the town like?
Very much a ghost town. There's more houses there than I imagined there would be. There's probably, I'd say, maybe 15 or 20 houses there that look like they might actually be lived in.
Wow.
But there is a couple of great old storefront windows that are full of, like, really ancient Australiana.
Wow.
So I've got some snaps.
Old tins of Vegemite and stuff.
Yeah, things like the wooden Schweppes crates and things that. Yeah. So I've get those off my phone and I'll email them to you just so you can have a look.
Yeah, thank you.
There's one building there that has a wall that is like it's a brick wall painted white, and in the top right-hand corner of the wall is the red Caltex Pegasus logo.
Oh, yep.
And about 3 meters, out from the wall is this old, rusting, dilapidated fuel pump.
Oh, nice.
So I've got an astro shot of the Milky Way rising above the town, and I just used a torch to light paint the wall and the fuel pump.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that turns out as nicely as I thought it looked on the back of the camera. So
awesome. I look forward to seeing that.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty cool.
So, but all in all, we had an absolutely awesome time. The thing was we left Ben Bullen at about 3 o'clock and we rode up to Kapiti, which is the little village that you then turn off the highway to go to Glen Davis. And I'd already been in touch with the Royal Hotel in Kapiti and said to them, you know, you guys going to be open on Saturday night? And they went, yeah. And I went, cool. I said, we're camping out at Glen Davis, but we're thinking we'll come in for dinner. And the girl said to me, oh, okay, no worries. Well, dinner is strictly 6 till 8. I was like, right, okay, I'm glad I checked. So I'd said to James, when we arrived in town, I said, look, let's go and check out the pub before we head out to Glen Davis, just so we know what we're coming back to for dinner.
Yeah,
so we had a look at the pub. The pub is fantastic and very photogenic itself. And so then we jumped back on the bikes, headed back out to Glen Davis, and what I knew was that there was a campsite in the old town, but there was another campsite about 4 kilometres further down the valley. And I said to James, I think we're going to stay at the other campsite, but we'll just check out the one in town first. And he said, okay, fair enough. So we checked out the one in town, and then we rode out of town and onto this other dirt track and extra 4 clicks down the valley to this other campsite. And I honestly thought that when we got to this other campsite that, you know, we might be sharing it with one other vehicle if we were unlucky, you know.
Yeah.
Get down there. There's seriously 50 or 60 people there.
Oh, jeez.
Like there's easily 15, 20 vehicles. There's bloody caravans, there's camper vans, camper trailers, people sleeping in their four-wheel drives. There's one group of about 15 young lads who were, you know, full-on into the terps at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, God.
And I said to James, I said, mate, this is not going to be a quiet spot tonight. And he went, nah. And I said, I'm thinking we're going back to town. And he went, yep, I'm all for that. So that was a bit disappointing. So we rode back into Glen Davis. Got the tent set up, and by that stage it was about 5 o'clock, and I said, well, we should probably start heading back to town because I want to stop and take some photos on the way into town. Because on our way out to the village, I deliberately had not stopped because I knew all of these rock escarpments faced west, and I figured the later in the day I could shoot them, the better. Mm-hmm. And so I explained that to James. I said, look, I want to stop and take some photos as we're heading back to Kapiti because it'll be the last opportunity I get to shoot them in the daylight. Yeah. Admittedly, it was probably an hour and a half before sunset, and ideally I'd have loved to have been there at sunset, but that would have been right in the middle of our dinner window. So
can't miss that.
So hence that image that you don't particularly like was one of those images. As we were riding along, I saw the tree and just went, oh, there's the hero tree. Absolutely. So stopped and grabbed a few frames while we were there. Headed into town, got to the pub, ordered dinner.
It actually was open. I was waiting for the horror story. They weren't even open for food.
No, they were definitely open. And there was this crowd of 8 or 10 people sitting at a table next to us, and they all worked on a power station in Lithgow, and we ended up having a good old yarn and, you know, carry on with them for an hour or so. Took some photos of them.
They just love that. That kind of stuff can happen.
Oh, totally.
It's one of the great things about photography is it can open up stuff and experiences like that you would never normally have.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, so, I mean, the conversation sort of started first and the photography came later. There was a girl – there was two girls out of in this whole group, and one of them was quite chatty towards me because we were talking about ciders, and she said, oh, the cider they've got on tap's really good, yada yada yada. So anyway, so the conversation got started, and a bit later on I grabbed the camera out and said, oh, let's do
it. So, this is what clarify, you're how old?
The girl?
You.
How old am I?
Yeah.
I'm 50.
Okay. And she'd be?
30-ish.
I think it's not like how your conversation is. Oh, we got quite chatty. We talked about the cider, and she's gone. Jeez, I've got this stupid old bastard. What he wants to do? Young versus old. Oh, we had a lovely little chat over a cup of tea. I'm sure it wasn't like that. You can imagine it. Oh, we had a lovely chat. It was a lovely young girl. She really is.
So anyway, so we had a great old yarn, and we were carrying on with the whole group and had a good time and took a group shot and then did some photos of her and photos of her and a boyfriend, and then we jumped back on the bikes and headed back out to Glen Davis. And when we got back out to our tent, we found that there were two couples who were travelling in 2 4-wheel drives who'd set up camp, you know, like
on either side of you?
Well, about 5 or 10 metres away from our tent, and they were all sitting around a campfire. And James and I had got alcohol with us, and James came fully prepared. He didn't bring plastic cups. He brought Jim Beam glasses. And when we were at the pub, I'd said to him, oh, we should get some ice from the pub and we can have some ice to, you know, for our drinks, because he was drinking bourbon and I was drinking whiskey. And so we've wandered over to this group of four with our glasses in hand and our bag of ice and our bottles of alcohol and said, do you mind having some company? And three of them were pretty open to it. And one guy, I could just tell, like, he was just not really in the mood for strangers gate crashing their little party. But as it turned out, he and James are in very similar lines of work.
Yeah.
So he very quickly warmed up. So, you know, we sat there and had a yarn with them.
Did you talk about cider, did you, Bruce?
No, we didn't. So we chatted with them for an hour or so until it was about 10. And so then I said, okay, I'm going to go off and, you know, do some astro stuff. Yeah, so headed out of town 0.5 kilometre so that there weren't any power lines in the shot.
Yeah.
And did a bit of astro, then came back into town. And I'd seen the Caltex wall and the fuel pump during the daylight hours, so I thought, oh, I've definitely got to make something out of that you know, with the Milky Way in the shot as well. So did that, and, you know, after that it was, we're done, hit the sack.
I can't be bothered,
Yeah, and then on the Sunday we, you know, packed up and hit the road and went the long way home. It was great.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome, dude.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing the astro shots. It's,
Yeah. So I will endeavour to get that stuff processed this weekend. And you know
what you should do?
What's that?
Just off the, is you should do a dark table video on your astro workflow.
Yeah.
Because astro is huge.
Yep.
People always want to know how to get the best out of their astro shots.
Yep.
It'd be a really, I'm sure it'd be a really popular video for you.
Yeah, that's a good thought.
Of course it is. I mean, you say that like it's some sort of surprise.
So anyway, you know, I've got to say, I'm loving the new camera. I'm loving, you know, the fact that I can shoot at higher ISOs and not have just ridiculous quantities of digital noise. It's seriously four stops better than my 10-year-old A850 in terms of, you know, the amount of noise you get out of it. So, I'm really enjoying getting out and shooting again. And I actually had Ken Dixon reach out to me via Messenger this afternoon.
He's a nice guy, Ken.
Yeah, I was on the train coming home and you know, he reached out to say, oh, are you having issues with the website? I was like, oh, man, don't get me started. And he made the comment. He said, oh, it's really good to see that you're getting out and you're shooting again. And he said, I'm in a bit of a no-shooting slump at the moment. And it's like, yeah, well, I'm, you know, loving the new camera. So it's kind of got me inspired again.
That's one excuse for buying new gear.
Yeah.
You know, if you're feeling a bit, can't be asked about it all, get out and buy something new that's a bit different.
Yep.
And go play with that. It's a good way of sort of sparking the interest, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a hard argument to justify if you've got family, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But that's why you don't. Or you don't tell them how much it costs.
You just do it.
You don't say, you fudge the price. Yeah.
Easier to ask forgiveness than permission.
Pretty much. I mean, so I'm researching whenever I get into something, whenever I sort of just set my mind on something, some new thing, might be, let's say it's a new country I want to go to or a new experience or a new product that I want, I go just obsessive into finding out information. Yeah, sort of the few things that I love. Like, I love researching locations for trips.
Yeah.
You know, I love getting all that nitty gritty of just of sort of following a path of learning out stuff. So I'm getting into metal detecting.
Oh, okay.
Or more precisely, gold detecting.
Yep.
Going out hunting for gold nuggets because I live less than an hour from the Golden Triangle of the biggest gold producing area in Australia.
Right.
Well, back in the gold mining, the gold boom days.
Yep.
And so I'm researching gold detectors and techniques and VLF frequency detectors and detecting at different frequency levels for different size alloys I'm full nerd, Bruce. Full on nerd. So if you want an excuse to get out and go and do something like this, this makes me want to go walk in the woods.
Yeah.
You know, and as a couch lizard, I did my daily dad joke today what's a lazy person's favorite exercise? The diddly squats.
Yes.
You know, that's always been my favorite form of exercise. But now as you think of that, going hiking trails through the bush, because you've got some reason to do stuff, sometimes you need a reason to go out and take photos. It'd be that go somewhere, go on a photo tour with Glyn Ken, or buy a completely different piece of kit.
Yeah.
And that's why I always say buying a macro lens is great.
Yeah,
macro lens just changes the world so completely from everything you're used to seeing.
Yeah.
That it's a great inspiration to get you out taking more photos because everything you look through looks really cool.
Yeah.
it's so completely different. So, if you don't own a macro lens and you're feeling a bit in the photo doldrums, there's a good excuse. Yeah, and if you can't afford a macro lens, just buy some El Cheapo macro filters on eBay.
Or extension tubes.
Yeah, I mean, just some cheap stuff. Or even, just hold your lens backwards on your camera.
Yeah.
So get your 50mm lens.
Yeah.
Yeah, take it off and turn it around and put it the barrel, the filter front against your camera. You've got a macro lens,
right.
It works. Yeah, get out and play.
Will the shutter release with no lens attached to a digital camera?
Yeah.
Okay,
right. As long as your camera's not set for won't release without lens.
Yeah, right.
So some cameras you can turn that off.
Right.
But I do it all the time, I think, called free lensing, which is when you take the lens off completely and you just can just wobble it in front of the focal plane to give you like that lens baby kind of look.
Right.
So give it a try. Get your 24-85, was it? You got
28-75, yep.
Yeah, try that and just hold it in front of your camera. Yeah, pretty much it's almost tapping the body and just give little turns. And yeah, it's tough because you've got no exposure. Yeah, you have to set all your exposure beforehand because the camera's not got any connections once it's taken off. And you can have some real, it's hit and miss, but when you get it right, it's fabulous.
Excellent.
Good for an experiment. And all this stuff about playing, it's like those filters we talked about last week, you know, with the glued on bits of, do that with, get some glued on bits of cellophane, you know, paper, cellophane paper, and just stick stuff to some old cheapo filters. Go out and aim at the sun with it and see what you get. You know, there's all sorts of ways of just doing fun stuff.
Yep.
And I think photography becomes unfun when you try and make it serious. Oh, I'm going to go and take some photos today.
Right.
Yep. Not going to go and experiment and play.
Yeah,
and going out experimenting and playing, yeah, whilst it might be hard to get good shots sometimes, but it's fun.
The thing about doing that exercise is that there is no expectation of coming home with award-winning images.
Exactly. All that pressure's off yourself.
Yeah, yeah. So I am looking forward to our holiday in July.
Where you go?
Well, we've been talking for months about going to Sri Lanka, and in the last 24 hours, Kath's talking about going to Malaysia. It's like, no.
Really?
You can go to Malaysia.
You're going to where?
Yeah, exactly. She can go to Malaysia or I'll go to Sri Lanka. and I'll go to the Maldives by myself.
what brought up the change of heart? Was there something that inspired her? Or was there something?
I think she's nervous of the fact that I'm 2 weeks away from the end of my ABC contract, and at this point they haven't said anything about extending me.
Well, they're booked for 2 weeks.
But I am still absolutely convinced that in the next 2 weeks they're going to go, oh, mate, can you stay on for another couple of months, you know? Because every person I've spoken to at the ABC has said exactly that. And we went out for lunch
they've been asked to stay on?
Yeah. We were out for lunch last Thursday, a week ago today, and, you know, girl that was sitting beside me, I said, oh, you know, I'm Bruce, blah, blah, blah. How long you been here? And she said, oh, 3 years is full time. She said, I was 3 years as a contractor before that.
Yeah.
You know, 3 years as a contractor, just, you know, working month to month before they offered her a full-time job. And she then told me of another guy who was in a contract position for 5 years before he was offered a full-time gig.
Yes.
And I said to her, I said, you know, look, it doesn't bother me if I'm going to be contract for 3 years or 5 years. That doesn't worry me. It's just the uncertainty that is frustrating, you know.
Yeah.
It's not knowing whether or not I'm going to get extended again, you know, because if they don't, I've very rapidly got to find something else, you know.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, that's kind of weighing on Kath's mind.
But it's in Malaysia, would be no different than Sri Lanka, though, would it?
I think she's looking at just the cost of getting to where we're going to go and how long we're going to be gone, because you're saying, oh,
Sri Lanka is much more expensive than Malaysia.
I think it's just a distance thing. Like it's more flights to get there.
Yeah.
So it'd be a flight from here to Singapore and then Singapore to Colombo and then, you know, Colombo to the Maldives at the end of it. And, you know, whereas Malaysia, it's just one flight from here to there and back again.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, concerned that we can't afford for me to be off work for 3 weeks, yada, yada, yada.
Of course. Because you're contracted, you don't get paid, do you?
Nope. But my heart's still set on Sri Lanka. As far as I'm concerned, we're going to Sri Lanka. So...
Have you ever seen the TV show Travel Guide? It's an Australian TV show.
No.
Where they get this range of people of various different demographics, shall we say, and they send them to location A, B, C, D, all these different places. Well, one of them they did was Sri Lanka. But you've got a husband and wife who are, you know, I don't know if they've ever had children, they're fairly well-to-do and they're like the most luxurious of travel.
Right.
They've got a family of four redheads, say no more. a complete dorky, nerdy-looking people, social misfits at the absolute best.
Right.
They've got a couple of, I think, either best friends or sisters or something, Bogan, country girls, horsey girls from the country,
yep,
who've never been out of the country town they were born in.
Yep.
They've got them on it. Then they've got three mates, you know, who would all look perfectly at home in what's that show? The Big Bang Theory.
Oh.
Yeah, three nerdy guys. So, yes. They've got all these, and they send them to all these different locations.
Excellent. You know,
and one of them being Sri Lanka.
Right.
They just did Rajasthan and India a couple of weeks ago, which is hilarious.
Right.
So I think if you can watch it, I think you can watch it on the internet. I think it's on 10 Play.
You can
watch this. So let us see Sri Lanka through their eyes. She might be convinced.
Yeah, look, what I've seen of Sri Lanka, it looks amazing, and I know I'd absolutely love the food, as would Kath.
Yeah.
So,
but she'll say Malaysia's nice too.
Yeah, but, you know, Malaysia's Borneo, and we've done Borneo twice. Yeah. So, you know, I'm like, no, let's go to Sri Lanka.
I did see, my wife did text through to me today. She just saw flights to Hong Kong for $4.99 return.
Wow.
Which is, that's pretty insane value, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And a pretty short flight too, so that'd be kind of a good cultural experience to have too.
Yeah,
and if you love your street photography, it's a pretty darn cool place to go shoot streets.
Imagine,
yeah. So anyway, we've waffled on a bit tonight, haven't we, dude?
We have. So we've got a couple of quick stories to cover.
Thankfully, we don't have much.
That's right. Adam sent us one about the photographer.
Adam,
you know who Adam is. Everybody knows who Adam is.
Has he ever been on the podcast? Has he ever actually done an episode?
Was Adam part of the 3-hour extravaganza? I think he might have been.
No, I mean, just as a solo, I mean, you and him.
No, I've tried.
You've got to get him on.
I've tried. Anyway, so photographer captures incredible patterns of birds in flight. This is a great portfolio of images. And obviously, you know, you've got to have the camera on a tripod to do this stuff. And obviously a high frame rate camera, but then has stacked all of the images in, you know, Photoshop or GIMP or something like that, changed the blend modes. And so you've got this repeating shape of a bird that sort of morphs, you know, as it flaps its wings and as it swerves in flight and all this kind of stuff. They're a great set of images.
Yeah.
Yeah, some very simplistic stuff, some really extravagant stuff. Some of it looks like the birds are drunk. It's great. So, yeah, love that. Thank you, Adam. And the other one is Flickr teams up with Pixie, P-I-X-S-Y, to help...
Pixie?
No, to protect photographers from image theft. So I'm not familiar with Pixie, but basically what's happening is that they're joining forces, and Pixie was founded by photographers in 2014 with the goal to fight for the rights of artists and photographers. It partners with 26 law firms across the world, and it's working on a no-win, no-fee basis. And basically they're using AI to scour the web, and if they find that your images are being used in, you know, websites that aren't yours, then the photographer in question gets notified and you can, you know, chase it up. So interesting thing. And the fact that they're partnering with Flickr sounds like a good thing.
Well,
no.
Is Flickr still a thing?
Relevant? I don't know. I know there are some people who still use it. I personally don't. I know I've still got an account there, but I haven't logged into it for about 10 years. So,
yeah.
And the other one that Adam sent us was the NVIDIA AI story, but we covered that about three months ago, Adam.
Well, he doesn't listen to the episode, so
as you keep telling me. So you've got three on your list. What do you got?
Have I?
Yeah.
This is moderately interesting.
Right.
As a way of trying to prove that man did go to the moon, that it wasn't a Spielberg conspiracy.
Oh, yeah.
But all these photos have been released from a high-definition probe, a satellite that was going around the moon in 2009,
right,
trying to get really high-resolution pictures of the moon. And some of the pictures include, like, the tracks from their little moon buggy.
Yep.
Can be seen driving across. They reckon they photographed the equipment. They reckon they photographed footprints and everything else.
Yeah, right.
But showing us a photo of this stuff doesn't prove, because that's just saying the photo's photoshopped. I mean, I'm afraid
it could have been shot in the desert in Nevada.
Yeah, I don't think that makes it, you know, conclusive. Now, I personally know the man had been on the moon. Yes. You know, there's no doubt in my mind.
No,
but releasing these photos as a way of
and it begs the question: if these photos were taken in 2009, why are they only just surfacing now?
Well, maybe they're using Darktable rather than Photoshop. They're waiting for videos to come out to learn how to use it properly. I don't know. It is an interesting question. It's a long time. It's a lot. 10 years.
Yeah, to sit on these.
And you would have thought, yeah, the resolution of the camera 10 years ago versus what they could do now.
Yeah,
it would be very interesting. You know.
Yeah, but I have told you my story of visiting the JPL. At Pasadena.
Yes, and you met that lady, yeah. And that lady was on the volcano.
Yeah, but the point was that she, when we went up to her office, we stepped out of the lift and there was a photographic print hanging on the wall that was about 5 foot square, and it was a picture cropped in of just a crater on Mars, and sitting on the rim of this crater, you could clearly see the Mars rover.
Photoshop, Bruce. On...
If you want to believe that, you go right ahead. So, I mean, and that was 2008. So, you know, they definitely had resolution. You know, they had cameras better than what we had as consumers, put it that way.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. The next thing, though, speaking both of space and of photography, is another world first this week.
Yes.
Of the first ever photograph of a black hole.
Yes.
Which is quite impressive because in of itself, a black hole is black and doesn't reflect any light.
Mm-hmm.
So photographing a completely black thing is a fair effort. Yeah. A black thing in a black sky.
They're just employing that resurging lens cap photography technique.
They're punched through the hole and take there. That's called a black hole photo.
We're onto their game.
They believe we went and walked on the moon. They'll believe this crap. So of course they haven't photographed the black hole itself, which is so it's kind of a misnomer.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose they have. It's a black circle, but they photographed the light entering into the black hole in the event horizon, which is quite phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, it's as we've said many a time in this podcast that. We live in a phenomenally interesting time for amazing stuff being achieved.
Absolutely.
This is definitely one of them. So that was seriously cool, I thought.
Yep.
And the last thing I've got was also a little bit on some of the stuff we've been talking about of late.
Yeah.
That Mercedes-Benz have been suing some artists over the right for them to have used murals painted on a wall and some of the Mercedes-Benz commercials without paying the artists for the rights. And the reason they're saying is, basically, if these murals are on the street, we're filming and photographing our cars driving down this street.
Do you mean the artists were suing Mercedes-Benz?
No, Mercedes was suing the artists.
What? How does that work?
The artists tried to sue them.
Oh, I see, just right. It was a countersuit. Okay.
But, yeah, it's still a suit.
Yep.
Yeah. So they've taken these photos and these people have been going all postal on them. And so Mercedes is then suing them back, which I thought was an interesting take on things.
Absolutely.
And so Mercedes argues that its inclusion of the murals was fair use.
Yeah.
So we've heard that term a few times.
Yeah.
And the murals are exempt from copyright protection under the Architectural Works Copyright Protection Act. Now, that's something I haven't looked into because we've talked about this with Elisa Sartre. About, well, maybe the architect who built that train station could sue all the photographers who are making money off his art.
Yeah.
This is his architecture. But obviously there's an Architectural Works Copyright Protection Act, possibly only in the USA, because they're permanent parts of the architecture. Therefore, they can't be sued for it.
So it's
interesting stuff.
Very.
But it's the first time I've seen... Yeah, from the corporate point of view, the corporation having to go back, you know.
Yeah.
And the thing is, and I've heard that Mercedes has paid for artists' work in photos in the past.
Oh, it's just
for whatever reason this time they didn't.
Right.
And, you know, the way it goes, you know.
Yeah. Well, you see, you have to ask the question, did the photographer who was commissioned to do the shoot understand all of that, you know, in advance of the shoot? You know, did he know that Mercedes had in the past paid artists for including their murals in shots? And if he didn't know that, then he might have just thought he was being clever by including those murals in these shots.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, so it's interesting. There's a couple of links at the bottom of the page where the photographs of the Eiffel Tower at night are illegal.
Yes.
Because the lights are copyright, yep. which is interesting.
Yep.
And some guy was sued in Seattle for having stock photos that included some publicly funded art. So the public paid for the art, the artist made it, part of that public took a photo of it that he obviously paid for,
and then
put it up and got sued. And it's all about this fair use stuff. So there's lots of really, really, yeah. It's one of those things where it's so complex for simple brains like mine.
The world has gone crazy, Glenn.
But it's also going to be it's almost like an individual case basis these days, you know. There's so many factors to be taken into account about, you know, what part is fair use. I mean, Mercedes are kind of saying that, well, you know, the murals were shot from angles, they weren't shot from straight on, and no photograph was the entire mural in the shot because the car was blocking lots of it, and all of that. So they weren't photographing the art and trying to sell it. It was an incidental part of the image.
Yeah, I don't buy that it was an incidental part of the image. I think it was very deliberate.
Well, they were driving around. They had license to photograph and film in this market area.
Right.
And the market area happens to be where the murals are. But they'd licensed.
And it'd be a bit hard to shoot without getting the murals into the shot.
Exactly. And they were licensed to shoot in this zone. So maybe the people they paid to do this, they owe the artist some money. Yeah, I mean, let's say if I owned an open space, a marketplace,
yeah, and like it'd be the city council that they've had to pay for the license.
Or could be a corporation, and I've paid some artists to do some murals on my walls to make it pretty.
Yeah.
And then someone was to come and pay to be here. Well, maybe it's my responsibility to say, well, a portion of this earnings has to go to them because that's one of the reasons why we're here.
Yeah,
you know. Because this is the same issue I had when I was photographing for Tamron last year.
Yeah.
They didn't want to use the graffiti because it's like, well, you know, it's just not worth the effort, basically. Yeah. So fascinating stuff, I say.
So the images that you shot for Tamron, was the graffiti in focus or out of focus?
In focus.
Right. Okay.
But, I mean, we're talking down a laneway in Melbourne, I don't know, 50, 80, 100 different artists?
Yeah,
I know. Who knows? And artists, I'll use it loosely, also, people tagging over the top. Is a tag considered art? If they they've done stuff over the top of other people's stuff, I mean, it becomes layer upon layer upon layer of stuff. Right?
Yeah.
How many advertisements have we seen where public spaces are used where there's some form of art in that image somewhere?
Yeah.
If it all starts becoming too hard, everything's going to have to be shot in the studio on fractal manufactured backgrounds.
Yes. Yes. It won't be long and we'll be able to get AI to create artificial, you know, graffiti and murals for
us. Well, remember, I think it was the last week's episode where we were doing the AI was creating the landscapes.
Yes.
And then a few weeks ago, AI was creating the faces.
Yep.
So we won't have to worry about paying for models.
That's it.
Or scenes, because we can manufacture the scene and the people to be in it.
Yep.
And it looks realistic and it costs nothing.
Yeah.
Except for the time to make it. Yeah. Interesting. So you then own the copyright of a location.
Yes.
Yeah, and if you use that location, it's like building a set for a TV show, really. You can build this thing.
You're going to have a unique location that no one else has got.
And you can use it and change the seasons to,
Yep.
Crazy. You could even fake a moon landing on
that's right.
Oh, what interesting. Excellent. Times. So, got anything exciting planned for the week?
For this week? No, not at this point.
No.
Not at this point.
So, I'm going to football again tomorrow night, on Saturday night. And
you're having a rough run this season.
Not doing well. No, not doing well. Yeah, we like to keep snatching defeat from the jaws of victory.
Right.
A few times. Quite good. But yeah, so then my eldest is away, so I've got 4 days with my youngest, and that'd be kind of nice to do some stuff that's just for her, because, you know, it's like the older kid dominates a bit sometimes. So, yep. It's kind of nice. So we'll have some fun times there and I don't know, maybe nice. Take some photos. Who knows?
Fantastic. All right, mate. Well, enjoy that.
I will. Take care, everybody.
Talk to you next week.
Lovely of you listening to us.
Yes. See ya.
It's been lovely, lovely for you. Bye.
Shutters Inc. Another audio2.com quality podcast. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.